I'm Sean Cheatham, the Chief Commercial Officer at Hays, and this is How Did You Get That Job? A podcast which uncovers the secrets behind career success in the tech industry. This is a special episode in which we will be focusing our attention towards mentorship.
Nobody's success is just built by themselves. There are people along the way who help them get to that endpoint.
We'll be looking back at key moments from the podcast today where guests have shared their own experiences about mentorship, how it's helped them get to where they are today, what they've learned as a result, and the types of people who have mentored them. We will also catch up with Thea Watson, Global Customer Experience Manager from Hays, who will talk with us about mentorship, how to choose the right mentor, and what milestones to work towards to achieve success. Hey, Thea.
Hi, Sean. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
So tell me why mentorship is so important.
I think mentorship is really important for the post-pandemic world, maybe more than ever, in all honesty. Every job in almost every specialism or professional area around the world is forcing people to learn at unprecedented rates. Digital transformation, business change, market is forcing people to evolve practices, learn new parts to the job, become more technical. And mentorship is just another way to help you learn, progress as an individual, and develop as a professional to offer more value to the organization and help you progress.
And what can a mentor program look like?
So there's a number of ways a mentorship program can work and look like, but it depends on obviously what's best for the organization. But some things to consider is one, structure. So there's a lot of times, and I can speak from personal experience, that you can set up with a peer-to-peer. So it makes sense the new starters be mentors to each other, which is great on one hand, but then it ends up in being just informal chats and coffees and maybe not the most productive use of time in all honesty. So I think structure is really important. What is the purpose? What are the agendas? What is the cadence? And then who is meeting with whom, I think, is really, really important. There has to be intention behind the mentorship program. But that doesn't always mean formalities, although formalities help. So obviously the structure, meetings, cadences, et cetera, agendas. Another element of it is having access to people. So do I need to have one mentor in a kind of a traditional sense, or can I have access to a number of people that I trust in a safe environment through Teams chats to communicate and create that safe place to ask questions, but that also people are accountable to responding. Another element of this, I think, is the reverse mentorship side. So people always think mentorship should be peer-to-peer or levels up, but that can also be levels down, where you can learn from those maybe younger generations that are doing things differently or have different skill sets than maybe to yours. So I don't think there's one size fits all. I think there has to be intention and purpose, especially in a one-to-one capacity. But I think we also need to be creative and creating forums to have kind of on-the-go mentorship when sometimes you just don't want to ask your boss or maybe a colleague your question.
Hays has recently released the Global Mindset Report for 2022. What has the report uncovered?
Our Learning Mindset Report is the first report of this nature. It's a global report that was just launched a few weeks ago. What we looked at is both the kind of dichotomy or disconnect between an employer's view of what learning is versus an employee's view. And there were some really interesting findings. One of the punchline findings was that how people view learning is different. And staff, if you will, feel they're learning really well on the job, but are looking for more formalities of learning. And employers at a high level actually think maybe their staff aren't learning as well on the job and should be doing it more in a micro stage or in micro learning day to day. And what's interesting with that, it's just about communication, and the two aren't really just aligned on what learning is and how to demonstrate progression and development in a learning context. Now, specifically about mentorship was one, those employers that have launched mentorship programs and those employees that are part of it believe it's super successful and hugely rewarding. So that was a great finding. Unfortunately, coming out of the pandemic, what the finding showed is that there's been less maybe mentorship programs that are being taken advantage of. So my main message here would be for both employers and employees to kind of get it back as a priority, because this concept of micro learning is here to stay, and it's quite critical for us to do our jobs, and mentoring can be a great way to support.
Thanks for now, Thea. We'll get back to you shortly.
Speak soon, Sean.
And just to point out, the report found that 66% of workers and 75% of employers were happy with the scheme they have in place, whilst roughly half said it's been positively impacted by the pandemic. You will find the link to the report in the show notes of this podcast. And how did you get that job? The theme of mentorship has come up a lot. It has been a positive topic where guests have openly shared their experiences, and in some instances, say they wouldn't be where they are in their career today without mentorship. Let's have a listen back to some of those thoughts. In the Jessica Chaplow episode, she told us that when starting her career, how she wanted a mentor to help ground her way of thinking.
I actively asked for a mentor when I was starting out. I think an experienced voice and perspective, especially in the same company and field, is super important and kind of grounds your thinking.
Next, you'll hear from Ali DiPolito and Rebecca Keenan.
Over the years, I've realized how important mentorship and sponsorship are in one's career, to the point where at the moment I probably have 4 or 5 mentors, and I mentor 4 or 5 people. So mentoring for me is huge, and I would definitely advise anyone to look at it. And we will not get on with everyone, right? So some mentors will help more than others, but you can always get something from everyone. So you can learn different things from different people. And that's what I love.
I think having a cheerleading squad, I guess, can make all the difference when you're questioning yourself, maybe a bit harshly. I think we're all very harsh on ourselves sometimes. It's made the world of difference.
And confidence is a recurring topic. We'll soon hear from Daniel Shapiro, the CEO of LinkedIn. But first, here's Jessica Nimmers, who started her career as a professional ballerina and is now the chief security officer at fintech company Elevate.
I've always talked about being a woman in tech. My mentors were men, really, because I was among almost all men in different areas. So there was one in particular at one of my jobs that just kind of prepped me for not limiting myself. So stop apologizing. When you're in meetings, don't apologize. Just speak. Speak with authority. Then go for it. So a couple of the job changes that I did, they would kind of talk me through, why are you talking yourself out of this? So I think that was really important. And then again, encouraging me to be authentic and tell my story and not discount the fact that I was a professional ballerina, but share it. It really has resonated with a lot of people that I've met coming in or wanting to come into tech or wanting to come into cyber from a non-traditional background.
The key for me has been to realize, and this took me a long time to realize, I have something to learn from basically everyone I interact with. And I would say I grew up earlier in my career when someone would share something, I would first ask the question in my head, what's wrong with that? And I think what I've learned to do is to ask, what's right with that? And what do I have to hear from what they're saying that adds to what I know? And if you can do that all day long, you're going to learn so much faster. And it has been a complete game changer for me in terms of expanding my own knowledge. And that happens from everywhere. That happens from people on your team. It happens from your customers. It happens in conversations like this, where we're just chatting about life.
Cybersecurity consultant John DeCrane talks about how a diverse mentorship program can be.
The first managing director very early in my consulting career when I got hired at Alvarez in the beginning, of course, and he took me under his wing and he taught me what one would consider all the soft skills of being a consultant, how to read a room, how to have dinner with a high-class lawyer without looking like a fool. All of these consulting experiences really do train you for sort of the world of big legal consulting. I was very grateful for him.
Here is Rebecca Keenan, who talks about the relationship with a mentor.
A man called John Maloney, who in my eyes has been the definition of what a mentor and an ally should be coming up through the business. I find it hard to articulate sometimes the impact he had on coming up through my career because he was my number two for a lot of years. So, you know, we'd travel a lot or we'd be going to meetings. And if someone knew that the head of automation and one of her team were coming, the assumption was always when we walked into a room, he's an elder gentleman, he'll kill me for saying that, but you know, the assumption was always that he was the head of automation and I was the help. And without fail, he never shook a hand before correcting everyone in the room and saying, no, I work for Rebecca. This is who she is. And small things like that, that make a difference, I think, to longer term attitude as well.
One topic that has surprised me from my conversations is how prominent reverse mentorship has been. It makes total sense as tech is changing all the time and all age groups can bring different learnings and experiences to the industry. Here's Ali DiPoluto talking about her reverse mentor.
So it's someone who is much younger, is what you would call a digital native, and helping me in areas that I struggle with, that person is amazing at. And it's a bit like a mutual mentoring. We mentor each other, but she mentors me more than I mentor her, and is one of my best mentors.
Tariq Khan shared how reverse mentorship can work with senior management.
My version of reverse mentorship is when someone can be a junior position or someone from a underrepresented background mentors someone in a senior position. So I know myself that actually the more senior you get, the more kind of closeted you get, as it were, especially in big hierarchical organizations. It's very difficult to kind of see perspectives right through. So reverse mentoring is something whereby we pair up someone from a senior position to have someone that's got a different perspective from them, to be able to have a very open and honest conversation without fear of judgment or kind of reprimand, and really help bring the conversation forward and understand better, so that it's not in a group where people might be a little bit more worried, but just in a Chatham House Rules kind of environment where it's confidential. These two people from very different worlds talk to each other and hopefully foster a bit more empathy and understanding. Where I think reverse mentorship really works as well is the person, maybe from a more junior position, kind of understands what some of the challenges are to making that change too. Whenever I've suggested it and implemented it, I've always found it to be a really effective tool.
So let's think, who around you right now in your life could be a successful mentor for you? Who could offer advice beyond the organization you work for and encourage you to be successful? Now you're going to hear from Daniel Shapiro, Rebecca Keenan, and Shelby Vaklu.
The person that's probably mentored me the most is my father, who has always been a great mix of cheerleading and pressure testing my thinking, making sure I was learning as I was going and focused on the right things. And we chat multiple times a week, and I look forward to every call.
My dad was a very big influence, as was my mom. You know, even till now, you know, my dad's in a similar gig, I guess, to myself. So who I go to still at 30 years old, I tend not to sign off on many things without first getting some wise words from the man himself.
I would definitely suggest to people that they really think hard about their own goals. You know, once you've identified those goals, you are in a position to look for specific people who have either achieved those goals themselves or they have a lot of knowledge to drop. So really thinking about who is it that can add value in that space, and very important there, add value, but without a personal agenda.
Now let's return to Thea Watson. So you've heard through the episode the stories of successful experiences with mentorship. What tips can you give to someone listening about finding a mentor of their own?
Yeah, no, I don't think there's a one size fits all on who your mentor could be. Peer-to-peer is a great opportunity because you can learn a lot from peers. Obviously, there's the more senior angle, going to somebody who's got maybe more experience and tenure, either in your discipline or others. It doesn't always have to be in your field of expertise. There's also then going back around the reverse mentorship side, where looking to younger generations to help you in terms of evolve your practices, your technical understanding. You know, I work in marketing, and a lot of my senior leaders might not have the in-depth skills on TikTok and some of the other channels that we now need to use day to day. Every function is technologically advancing themselves. We can't ignore it. And I think a lot of the younger generations understand different practices just right out of the gates and can be a great way to learn.
Shelby Vaklu mentioned in her episode about how mentorship is only really successful when you set goals for yourself of what you want to get out of it. What are your thoughts around that, Thea?
You know, a key part of any of these types of learning elements is how are you going to measure its effectiveness? And you're giving time out of your very busy schedule, whether it's in your evenings, weekends, or in your office hours. So I think the impact of it is really quite important. And it comes down to intention and focus. I think, what is the purpose as step one to help you then define your measurement? Is it specifically to help you with a project or program? Is it around your ongoing development and potentially progression because you have your sight set on a next step? Is it to help you deal with maybe issues and challenges that you need some consult on? Or it could be just you've got interest in learning different skill sets to help you develop as an overall professional. I think that intention is quite key. So then when you want to go around measuring success, I think there's two parts. One, are you feeling more confident? Are you feeling more clear? Can you communicate better depending on what it is? And that is a self-test. There's also lots of ways that you can go out and measure, but maybe take that element into your one-to-ones with your manager and going, I'm starting this mentorship on X. I'd like you to tell me if I'm doing better at my communication or whatever it might be. The other aspect then is the technical side. And maybe your mentorship is to help you learn a new, more technical skill tied to your job. Now, that doesn't mean IT. It means you might have to learn a change methodology, or you might need to learn a new presentation skill set, or it could be also technical. Again, put that into practice and ask your peers or your colleagues in relation to any projects, are you doing better? And then again, stick it back into your one-on-one reviews with your own manager.
Thanks for your time, Thea.
Thanks so much, Sean.
I hope this look at mentorship and some of the open and honest insights have made you think about how mentorship could benefit you in your career. It's first worth pursuing in your organization to see what programs they have in place, and then thinking about what you want to achieve. Ali DiPolito, at any point in time, has 4 to 5 mentors helping her. So think about other people around you. Who can help you? To discover more about mentorship, do visit expertsintechnology.hays.com, where we have more details, opinions, and analysis. Plus also the Global Mindset Report, where you will find a link in the show notes. Do make sure to hit follow at How Did You Get That Job? And listen back to previous episodes, because aside from mentorship, we touch on other key areas to further your career and uncover secrets about achieving success in the tech industry. I'm Sean Cheatham, the Chief Commercial Officer at Hays. Many thanks for listening.